Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast number 59 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. Welcome to another segment of Match Points, where we answer questions from our listeners who reach out to us via email or social media. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. Wayne from Michigan writes, I can only play tennis in the middle of the day because of my work schedule. I often have difficulty finding anyone to hit with. My club does have a ball machine which I use occasionally, but some of my friends have warned me about using ball machines too often, that doing so may be detrimental to my game. Is this true? Well, thanks for your question, Wayne. You know, if properly utilized, a ball machine for regular practice is really not going to hurt your game. A ball machine is simply another piece of training apparatus. You know, the main consideration is similar to what I talked about in podcast episode 57 regarding the use of a wall or backboard to practice against. The key is to understand what that particular piece of apparatus can and cannot provide for your game from a training perspective. You know, ball machines are great for doing different types of drills and honing certain skills. You know, many tennis and racket clubs have higher-end ball machines that can reliably feed balls with a variety of spins, trajectories, depths, placement, and frequency. In general, practice sessions using a ball machine can be very good for repetition, grooving your strokes, working on your flow and movement around the court while returning a variety of shots, helping you improve reaction time and perhaps even your shot tolerance. You know, all of these things are obviously very important. The key is to understand what and how a ball machine can be best utilized for your needs before you flip the on switch and begin hitting balls. Clarice from New Jersey writes, as a way of improving, my local pro suggested I play more against players who are, well, better than me. I've tried doing that, but find it demoralizing to get wiped out time and again by superior players. What are your thoughts? You know, Clarice, generally speaking, the suggestion to play higher caliber players as a way to improve your game is certainly sound. The key is to make sure that these opponents are comparable to your play level and not unrealistically out of reach. Otherwise, it won't be much of a match nor a pleasant experience from which to learn. Ideally, you want to be able to test and stretch some, if not all, of the aspects of your game, mental and physical. You know, that may be challenging to do if the delta between you and your opponents is so large that you're always getting steamrolled. So just something to keep in mind. Let's do one more. Kate from Texas writes, I'm a strong 4.0 level player. As a working professional and mother of two young children, I'm on a very tight schedule and try to squeeze in tennis wherever there is an opening in my calendar. I spend most of my tennis time taking part in a couple of tennis clinics every week. The instructors are very engaging and fun, and I get a good cardio workout. I am so familiar with the routines and drills by now that I can probably do them blindfolded. However, when it comes to match play, I have not seen much improvement. In singles, I lose almost as many matches as I win. I feel good about what I can do on the court, yet from the standpoint of match results, my game seems to be stuck in neutral. And she signs off with hashtag frustrated with my game. Kate, the tennis experience you've described is fairly common for many folks, in particular those who spend a disproportionate amount of their tennis time doing drills, and the same set of drills at that. You know, when you attend the same tennis clinics, over time you will become very familiar with the drills and routines, and that's only natural. I mean, so much so that it can actually impact your ability to make adjustments, for example, and crisply execute under circumstances typically encountered during match play. You know, my suggestion is to try to strike a better balance between doing drills and playing matches. And there isn't a steadfast rule or perfect ratio, per se, but a good general guideline to follow is to simply avoid being on either end of the spectrum. I mean, you may also want to try attending different clinics once in a while as a way to maybe change things up from the drills and routines with which you are already very familiar. To share something I often say to my players, don't be a drill master, be a skill master. So to our listeners, thank you for your questions. I look forward to answering more of your questions in future Match Point segments. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us a question, email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock_and_rally. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.